We have stock futures actually, and again, the caveat is it's early, but we're down, you know, about 0.5% plus across the board. Oil is still, I mean, we were like 67, 66, and we have gas prices that are in like more than almost more than a dozen states are below $3 a gallon, and now oil is up like 10 bucks in the last couple weeks. So that's going to change at some point. Job numbers on Friday. Jill Schlesinger, CBS News. Jill on Money joining us here on Brian and Company. Jill, good morning. How are you?
I'm well. How are you, sir?
I'm pretty good. Outside of, you know, failing eyesight and grumpy.
Did you say failing eyesight?
Yeah, my eyes are going, man. It's
oh, dear.
Brutal. I know.
You're young.
I'm young.
Don't worry. It's good. Make it a fashion thing. That's what I did.
Yeah, I'll try.
You know, my anchor, Gail King, has the best reading glasses ever. And I said, I'm going to make this a fashion accessory just like her. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, I get paid about the same, so I could probably afford the same stuff. Listen, the jobs report, obviously a big surprise to the upside. Help us interpret.
Don't you love an upside surprise? It's so fabulous because, you know, you hear from every economist who's like, get ready for the downside. Things are going to be terrible. And then all of a sudden you get a nice upside surprise. I like an upside surprise. I'm not sure the why, but I'll tell you, there were a lot of good parts of this jobs report. Number one, 254,000 new jobs, 100 grand more than an analyst had expected. The previous 2 months were revised higher, and that's a very interesting factoid because often when you have a revision, the downward revision is often occurring during a sort of a deteriorating labor market, and we've had downward revisions for the last bunch of months.
Yeah.
This one, we had an upward revision, 72,000 jobs. I just can't believe that 45 months into this jobs, you know, bull market, basically, that we've got average job creation at a 3 month average of 185,000. It's a big number. The unemployment rate came down a little bit. And I think the most important number in this whole report, annual wages up by 4%. That is a nice bump ahead of the 2.5% inflation rate.
Yeah.
So I think that for, you know, for most people, forgetting about the Fed for a second, I think this was unambiguous good news.
So let me just ask a question, and you don't have to get political, but it is a political question,
okay,
which is some in politics, I won't name names, are questioning the credibility of these
I hate
numbers.
That. No, I mean, we have wonderful civil servants, and, you know, I know people at the Bureau of Labor Statistics. They work their butts off. It's a hard job. They don't have a lot of resources. That's just nonsense. We don't do that. We should, it's like saying, I'm going to blame the game on the refs, and you've played the game the whole time, and you're blaming the refs in the last inning.
I'm just asking the question because people talk about it. So
Yeah. But, you know, I think you believe that also. It's like, come on now, guys. This is like, data is data. These are not political appointees. These are civil servants, and they're really good at their jobs.
My response is always, it's not the one report that matters. It's the trend, and just read the trends, and that's what really
matters. And the trend is very interesting right now. Very interesting. Look, I don't believe that most, as we talked about many times, it is hard to go back to a period of time where you are in a high inflationary environment, a high interest rate environment, and the economy doesn't start sliding into a recession. Now, we'll have a recession. It just doesn't look like there is one on the horizon.
Right.
And I think that's quite, has less to do with anything except a bit of luck, because it appears to me, at least, that the Fed was too late in starting to raise interest rates, and maybe even too late in starting to cut interest rates.
Right.
But, you know, far be it for me to quibble with the numbers. The numbers so far look good.
Well, let me ask you then, because, you know, like, again, you know, I was looking at energy prices, and we were in this trend where I was like, you know what? We're going to go across the board under $3 a gallon here if things go in. And then we get this conflict, you know, things intensify in the Middle East and it reverses trend. So, like, you write about what could, like, Helene and maybe even Milton, we'll see what happens. How could that impact the overall macro economy?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the gas question is going to be a question, you know, that is geopolitical, so far out of our, you know, our control. I think that the Helene or the storm or climate change in general is much more part of our day-to-day lives. And, you know, when you look at the numbers and you examine what has happened in the past with natural disasters, what we know is in the short term, you see the local economies really have big drops in output, meaning that, you know, essentially the economy locally will shut down. And then over the next 3-4 weeks and maybe a couple months, the rebuilding process begins, and all the economic output that you lost during that period of time comes back online. So it ends up net-net not really changing the overall number. So we could see a dip in our GDP because so many states were affected, and these are high population states, that then is reversed. We could see a hit to jobs next month or the month after. We could see that, absolutely. And then it should come back online. What I think is harder to quantify is there are people on the ground who are really suffering, and so many people who don't have homeowners or renters insurance. So many people who didn't realize, oh, you know, I kind of cheaped out on my insurance because I wanted to save a few bucks because insurance was going up. And so I said, give me a skinny policy. And then you find you're exhausting your savings, or you have to take an emergency loan from your 401k. So right. All those things, I think, are very important signs that the words climate change, which sort of kind of go in and out of our vernacular, now it is really starting to impact individuals. And this is where we see it. You know, I interviewed a housing analyst a couple of weeks ago in LA, very smart guy. And I said, what's the risk to the housing market? He said, looked at me like, no, he goes, big storms. He says, I know that insurance companies are pulling out of Florida, pulling out of South Texas, pulling out of these areas where they perceive to be risk. And he said, and so you're going to see people who own homes where their home insurance is more expensive than their principal and mortgage interest. Mm.
Yeah, the insurance side of it is fascinating. I'm not going to delve into the climate change debate.
Well, I mean, it's all like locked up. I mean, I get it. Like, if you're an insurance company, you don't want to go where the high risk is, right? Like, right. I'm not going to go insure somebody who's 88 years old a insurance policy for cheap. You're going to charge them more because they're closer to the end than the beginning. But it really leaves people in some of these areas absolutely vulnerable. Bereft yeah. when something bad happens.
Hey, what's up this week in terms of numbers?
Oh, we have an inflation number. We have our CPI report, which comes out on Thursday morning. You know, look, inflation has been coming down. We're not going to see, I don't think we'll get the oil numbers in this report. We won't see the increase in oil. You know, right now, I think, you know, we're paying something like, 318 a gallon or so, something like that for gas last week. Oil and gas prices are down 10-15% since April, but now they're back up. So we'll see. Well, that inflation report's going to be important more for our brains than anything else. And that's about it. I'm intrigued to see how the data kind of plays out with the Fed. We don't have a Fed meeting till November.
Right.
So the number of reports that we're going to get is diminishing now, right? We're going to have one more jobs report before the next Fed meeting. We'll have another personal consumption expenditure index report. So we'll see what the Fed does. I think, I don't know about you, but I still think they're going to do a quarter in November. What do you think?
I don't see any data that shows it should be bigger.
I don't think bigger. I just wondered if they wanted to skip.
Yeah, maybe they may. I mean, that's possible. I think that this jobs number certainly changes the formulation for it for sure. Jill, great stuff as always. Have a great week.
Take care, buddy.